The First Amendment has not been suspended by the COVID-19 virus. That's a message from Plano, Texas, and the organization First Liberty Institute. And they are a group that helps fight for religious liberties for people of all kinds here in America. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. Our guest right now is Keisha Russell, one of the attorneys with First Liberty. And we're going to talk about a specific case related to drive-in church going, and this is out of the state of New York. Keisha, thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having us on.
Sure. Okay, so this is a fascinating phenomenon to me, that in the wake of this coronavirus crisis, many churches, most churches, vast majority of churches have been responsibly doing their part to not, you know, infect thy neighbor, if you will. Love your neighbor, don't infect your neighbor. Okay, so they've been abiding by the rules. And then some creative churches have come up with this idea. Well, what about drive-in church services where we still maintain the social distance so everybody's safe as far as the virus is concerned? And yet we've seen some of the authorities essentially become tyrannical, saying, no, you can't do even that. You know, go back to your homes, you know, nobody goes out and so forth. First, address that issue in general, and then we'll focus in on this church out of New York.
Yeah, you know, I think no one was really expecting churches to find this loophole and this way to really stay connected to their congregations that was also still safe. And, you know, I think the government is just inclined sometimes to ban religious activities because they're not really sure how to handle it. And thankfully, you know, organizations like First Liberty are around to really be able to sort of intervene between churches and the government and let the government know, look, as long as, you know, these churches are not, you know, endangering the public health, and, you know, if the government is allowing other entities such as, you know, drive-in restaurants or convenience stores and allowing all these other entities to use their parking lots, and that's not a public health risk, then you have to let churches do it too. It's one of the easiest ways to spot discrimination when churches are not allowed to do something, but everyone else is allowed to do it.
Mm, good point. And the way they usually transmit the audio of, let's say, the pastor's sermon is through like a low frequency on the radio dial, something like that.
Yeah, so some of them have been doing it through FM radio, and then others are doing, say, a live broadcast through their own social media channels, and their congregants are watching or listening in their cars, but they still get sort of that communal experience by at least getting to see one another in the cars.
Yeah.
So I think it's really amazing. Really amazing to stay connected.
Yeah, and by the way, there was no legal issue involved in this, but I just want to say that I heard about a church out of Stuart, Florida, where they started to do this, and the first service they did, the people just couldn't see the pastor because he was standing up, and they were all in their cars, and so the next time somebody brought a forklift, and it was kind of weird and awkward for him, but they hoisted him up on a forklift, and everybody was able to see him, and it was just kind of interesting experience. So, okay, so tell us about this city in New York. I don't even know how to pronounce it, Chemung, but
Chemung County, New York, is one of quite a few churches we've helped now during COVID-19. To be able to have drive-in services. So their county executive, Chris Moss, released on Facebook Live not too long ago, saying, right before Easter actually, saying that none of the churches were allowed to have drive-through services. Unfortunately, those services were not able to go forward for Easter for some of these churches. And First Liberty was contacted by three churches up there, and we were able to help all three. Wrote a letter on behalf of those three clients to the county executive, and he responded very quickly to our letter, and the very next day issued a press release saying that those churches could have drive-through services. And we gave him just a list of things that we felt like the churches should agree to in order to ensure that they would be safe. So some of those things, just making sure everyone stays in the car, keeping the windows at least halfway up, You know, the pastor is preaching by FM radio, so no one has to get out or anything like that. And everyone goes in and out the same way that they came. Just a few things that we think will help, you know, satisfy any of the government's concerns. And he was agreeable to that, put those requirements in his press release. And now all three of those churches and all the churches in Chemung County now are going to be able to have drive-in services this Sunday. So it's really incredible, and we're so grateful for the county executive's, you know, response, quick response.
Good. Now, this recording, just so people know, it is being recorded on Friday afternoon, April 24th. And as this pandemic continues to kind of drag along, I guess more and more churches will be trying to do this. Are there some other creative ways, too, that are legal and that are also safe as far as, you know, your congregation members dealing with this virus to still have services somehow?
Well, I think the best way at this point is either drive-in, drive-through services, or definitely some sort of internet broadcast, whether that be recording it and then putting that on YouTube or Facebook or Instagram or even on your church's website so everyone can, you know, log in and see it. That's definitely obviously going to be the safest way because it keeps everyone inside. And I think as things move forward, you'll see things open in phases. And churches, you know, will begin to be able to meet again based on sort of the size of their congregations, right? So if you have a smaller church, you'll probably be able to meet a little sooner. But if you're in a large church such as mine, I attend Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas.
Oh, that's big.
A pretty large church.
Yeah.
Right. So we'll probably be in the last phase when all of the requirements and restrictions are lifted. And so, you know, we just encourage all the churches to do their best to stay connected. Check in with all of, you know, your congregants, stay close by Zoom meetings or Facebook, all those things. And, you know, just kind of wait out the storm. But in the meantime, keep serving, keep praying for one another, and keep connecting with each other.
You know, the hard thing for a lot of this is that the people who need the Christian fellowship the most and maybe the most inclined to be lonely, for example, living in nursing homes or senior centers, they're not able to get out. And a lot of them are not necessarily tech savvy. I mean, some of them are, of course. But as far as internet-based church services and things like that, they don't necessarily have the means for, you know, achieving that, and they're the ones who would probably want this the most, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that really is, that was the case with some of the other churches we represented. We represent some churches in Mississippi and Louisville, and you know, they had a situation like that where a lot of their congregation was much older and was not as tech savvy, and so the drive-in services became most important for a congregation like that. And thankfully, for that congregation, we were able to secure a temporary restraining order against Louisville, Kentucky, from being able to enforce its restrictions on Easter Sunday. So that church was able to meet for Easter Sunday, and we got that victory just hours before Resurrection Sunday, which was really incredible.
Oh, that is great. Are there any rules that the drive-in churches could possibly violate that would, you know, allow the government to shut them down?
Well, I think the most obvious is the you know, the 6 feet rule.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Getting out of the cars, hugging, embracing, those kinds of things that we're all used to doing when we go to church. We really have to, you know, practice some self-control there, remain in the vehicles, and just, you know, try to resist the urge to get out and hug people and be physical with them, because that's going to put the government in a position where they're going to feel like, okay, now this is getting to a level that may not be safe. So not saying for sure that the government would be in a position to shut you down for that, but it definitely at that point would raise some public health concerns for sure.
I hate to ask this question, but if somebody had to go to the bathroom and they were participating in one of these drive-in, you know, meetings, is it possible that they could access themselves, you know, just run to the restroom in the church, or how does that work?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. As long as you're, you know, maintaining that that 6 feet rule. Like, you
and
just
wash your
get
hands.
Out the car, go to the bathroom,
yeah.
wash your hands, do what you need to do. It's just like if you pull up to a restaurant, they're offering drive-in and drive-through services, and they will let you come in to pick up the food too, right?
Right.
You can still use the bathroom in the restaurant and all those things. So, you know, all those requirements and all those things are allowed for restaurants and convenience stores. They're still allowed for churches too. You just, like I said, want to maintain the physical distance between you and people that are not in your same household as much as possible.
Have you been surprised at some of the anti-Christian animosity that you've seen in some of these places, you know, where they're just dead set against churches? Oh, and by the way, those very same officials would turn around and say, oh, abortions are essential services, and who cares about the 6 feet social distance rule? We're going to keep the abortion clinics open, but the churches closed. It's just been such a strange phenomenon. It's like this virus brings out the best and the worst of people.
Yeah, I did see, and answer to your question, I'm not surprised because of what I do and what I've seen over the past few years, and the animosity towards Christianity is definitely prevalent, not just in the United States, but globally.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was kind of shocked at, you know, just how brazen it was. I think some places in California that said they were going to go ahead and close parks, you know, and they're saying this on Good Friday, you know, we're just going to close parks for the weekend or something like that. And those things are always questionable and problematic under the Constitution because it's clear that they're induced by this religious holiday that's approaching and they don't want people celebrating it in the parks, even though people are allowed to go to the parks to exercise and be with their family and whatever. All of a sudden it becomes important not to allow people to celebrate Easter. So it's disconcerting, but it's also not surprising because, you know, we see it at First Liberty. We see it all the time.
I think one of the worst stories I heard about was the one, it was also a Kentucky-based church. I can't remember the community, but it was one of these things where the drive-in church was not being allowed. And furthermore, the authorities were getting the information on anybody that violated the order of the capricious mayor of that particular city. And further, somebody put nails in the roads so that the congregation members would get flat tires. There's no, you know, proof or anything that it was authorities that put those nails in the road. But still, it's like, wow, how low does this go?
and that was actually our client's church.
Oh!
Where that happened. Yeah, in Louisville. Yeah. When they were allowed to, and now it's you know, some level of vandalism going on there. But we've had that happen to some of our churches. We represented a church in Austin where people were protesting the church and because they didn't respect their stance on marriage. And you know, it's mind blowing to me that you know, we're in this situation in America. I think it's really sad, but that's why I think what I do is so important and really serves the purposes of God. And so, you know, I'm happy to be on this side of the team for sure.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you for all you do. And again, recapping our top story, it is perfectly legal for these churches to engage in these drive-in church services. And anybody who thinks otherwise needs to realize that you'll get a phone call or a letter from First Liberty Institute if you try to block that. We have 30 seconds left, Keisha. Any closing thought?
Well, definitely any of your listeners who want to know about those cases can go to firstliberty.org. And also we have a ton of resources for churches on dealing with COVID-19. And we're keeping close watch on the phases and the reopenings and all that. So you can tune to firstliberty.org and you can get all that information right there.
And one last question, just a 2 second question. That Chemung County in New York, just giving us an overview, is that close to New York City or is that more closer to Albany or closer to Birmingham or something like that? Mid-state?
Somewhere? Yeah, it's upstate.
Mm-hmm. Upstate, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, Keisha Russell with firstliberty.org. Thank you so much for being with us. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Have a great one.
You too. Bye-bye.